How is it that we find ourselves surrounded by such complexity, such elegance?
The genes of you and me, the genes of you and me, we're all made of DNA. We're all made of the same chemical DNA. We're all made of DNA.
Hello, you're listening to DNA Today, a genetics podcast and radio show. I'm your host, Kira Dineen. I'm also a certified genetic counselor practicing in the prenatal space. On this show, we explore genetics' impact on our health through conversations with leaders in genetics. These are experts like genetic counselors on this episode, researchers, doctors, and patient advocates. For this episode, I'm joined by fellow genetic counselors who also recently took the board's exam. We're going to be sharing our experiences with studying and offering tips that we learned along the way. So joining me here is Allie Abbott, who is a pediatric genetic counselor at Phoenix Children's Hospital in Arizona. We both graduated from Sarah Lawrence College's program together last year in 2020. Also joining me is Dani Coverman, who is a cancer genetic counselor at Danbury Hospital in Connecticut. She has graduated from LIU's genetic counseling program in 2018, and she was also one of my supervisors as a grad student. So welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Thanks for having us.
We have lots of information to share about genetic counseling boards, but before we get into that, I did want to mention that there's another episode about the genetic counseling boards, episode 126, which we're going to link to in the show notes for this episode, available at dnapodcast.com. And that was with Adam Buchanan, and he is the president, or was the president in 2020, of the American Board of Genetic Counseling. And he shared his insight, you know, coming from that position and with the new addition of taking the exam online. So if you haven't checked that out, you can go back and listen to that episode for the full board's insight experience. And I also wanted to mention, exciting announcement to kick off the new year, all episodes in 2021 of DNA Today is going to be available as a recording for video on YouTube. So you can check it out on our YouTube channel. Everything is going to be the same in terms of the audio podcast. We're just adding this new component to the show. So definitely feel free to go check that out on our YouTube channel. So today, again, we are talking about genetic counseling boards. So I thought we would start at the beginning of how we all started studying with this. Allie, do you want to start us out with how you started to organize your content and figured out a place to begin studying for what may be like the biggest exam of our lives?
Yeah, definitely. So I started by using the boards course as kind of an outline for my study plan. And we will get more into the boards course later on. But basically, I used all of those lectures to group my study plan. And I made a whole color-coded Excel sheet, because that's my thing, and planned which weeks I was going to study what information. I'm a kind of person who needs a lot of that external motivation. So checking off checkboxes as I go through was very important to me. So that was my plan, is to color code information and make a plan way ahead of time so that I could go through it. And, you know, I can adjust as I go, but making a plan was important for me, because I know that I'm not very good at motivating myself or making sure I do something on the fly.
And how about for you, Dani? How was the process of, as you were starting to pull together study materials?
Yeah, so I've actually taken the boards more than once, which I'm sure will kind of unravel those layers throughout this conversation. But my first attempt, I didn't know where to start. And I was fresh out of school. I tried to take it right away in August just to try to get it behind me. So I really didn't know where to start, what timeline I needed. And I had purchased the boards course as a place to start. And I had that list of the 100 syndromes, the common syndromes to be looking at. And I feel like I had solely relied on those. And as incredible and as helpful as those resources were, I had really just looked at everything one time. And I didn't really go back. I didn't keep re-reviewing. I didn't use any supplemental materials from my time in grad school. And I think that was really where my mistakes were, is that I should be utilizing those resources, going back to all that pertinent information, and not just think, you know, once over was enough. It definitely was not. So then I really think it was my my second attempt where I really, you know, was able to dive in a little bit deeper, and I actually made all those syndromes into individual flashcards. So copying everything over, looking at it multiple times, and using the textbooks at Green Book to get a little bit more information of the psychosocial aspects of genetic counseling. So I really actually was able to learn from that and take a turn and be more comprehensive in my next attempt.
There's so much information to cover that it feels daunting at the beginning as we're like figuring out, you know, of grad school's 2 years, but I feel like there's even more information than just like during grad school that we're, you know, responsible for the exam and everything. So I think, you know, I'm similar to both of you in terms of like the spreadsheets and the binders and, you know, all the organizational sections and everything. And I think for me, like rote memorization is key, that I've kind of learned that, you know, just write it as many times you can, and then it's kind of in my memory more. And along with that is, Allie, that you were saying, kind of breaking it up into sections of like, you know, you have your core areas that we, you know, represent three areas here of like prenatal, cancer, and pediatrics. But then looking further than that, that the board exam doesn't just cover that. Maybe back in the day it did, but now it's so many other areas like, you know, neuro, cardiac, and even like the math section, I think for me was, you know, more daunting and challenging there. So I think starting out with all those sections, as you guys were saying, is a good place to start. And you guys mentioned the boards course as well. Danny, before we were recording, we were talking about like the group rates with all of that. How does that work in terms of, you know, having a discount if you are signing up with other members?
So I believe for 2 to 5 individuals signing up for a group rate, you actually get a $50 discount. So I believe the boards course for an individual is around $1,000. So would that discount be $950 per person? And then if it's 6 people in the group or more, there's actually a $100 discount. So it would be $900 per person.
And with that, it's, you know, as we were kind of saying, it's a great place to start, that there's a lot of information in the boards course, and that it's not necessarily sufficient or comprehensive for everything on the exam, as Danny, you were kind of pointing out before. But it's certainly helpful, and, you know, can be hard to know where to start and everything like that. Is there anything else, Allie, that you experienced with the boards course to weigh in on?
Yeah, so I definitely use that as a starting place, but after going through the boards course, I kind of gave myself enough time after that to then go back through all those sections. But it is a good place to help you break up your studying material into sections and say, okay, I'm going to study this, 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 and then this. Because it does kind of, just as it is, breaks up the material into these like core different sections, which are helpful. And it includes things like cardio, which I did end up seeing a lot of on my course or on my exam. But the course itself does need to be supplemented with things you learn from class and things you get from classmates and other people your year with other study materials.
Yeah, certainly like a good place to start, as you said, and that, you know, needing to take from other materials. What other materials did you guys rely on when you were studying? Danny, did you want to share any experiences you had with other study materials?
Yeah, so as I had mentioned, my index cards were key. I would actually trick my fiance into doing quizzes with me, and it ended up being really fun because he didn't know how to pronounce half of the words that were on them. So that was a big thing, and that was just made it a little bit more fun and interactive. I went back, and there, if I had any recorded lectures from my time in graduate school, I actually rewatched them and was able to take notes. And now after doing the board review course, I actually knew a little bit more of what to be focusing on. My biggest resource, and I can't stress this enough, is if you can get your hands on as many practice questions as possible, do the practice questions, do that practice test that they actually offer. I don't know if it's ABGC or whoever offers that practice exam. I think the more practice questions I did, the more comfortable I became, the more I knew what to focus on when going back and reading all of my notes from my classes. And I really think doing all those practice questions and putting in that time, you know, really allowed me to be successful with the boards.
Yeah, I think the practical exam was so key. And I think one thing that I heard from other peers that some people took it too late, that it was very close to their exam where they weren't able to really look at their areas of strength, say, okay, I've really studied that area and I feel confident that I'm going to get enough questions right in that area. And then looking at areas where they weren't as confident and getting more questions wrong so that they didn't have enough time to really focus on that area. So I know for me, I took my practice exam, I think like a month before my real exam. So I had an additional month to go through that material that I wasn't as good at, the math. I like totally forgot to study a lot of the psych material. And I was like, wow, I need to go through that because I got a lot of questions wrong there, and kind of pointing out different areas. So I think that's really helpful. And, you know, in terms of the timeline of studying, of not waiting too last minute to give yourself that chance. Ali, starting with you, what did your timeline look like for studying? Like, how many weeks or months did you set aside, and how did your study schedule look?
Yeah, so my study schedule was definitely impacted by the coronavirus. I was planning on originally taking the boards this upcoming February 2021, but because I had so much time on my hands starting in March, I began studying in April and decided to take the boards in August. So I had a lot of time with nothing to do but study, which I think really benefited me in a lot of ways. Also gave me a lot of anxiety leading up to the test because I had been studying for it for so long. But I really did start studying in April and then ended up taking the test in August.
Yeah, it was the same timeline with that. I think, you know, most of our class started studying like April 1st. It was like, You know, get through the March first 2 weeks of, or the last 2 weeks of March, figuring out our lives and not going back to campus and everything, and then saying, right, all right, if we're stuck at home, I guess we're studying for the next 4 months.
I probably wouldn't recommend that, but if you're in a time like now and you have the weekends that you can stay home and study and also prevent the spread, then I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, definitely. That can be a focus, but then also putting those study breaks in and everything. For you, Danny, how did that look in terms of study plans for when you were gearing up for the boards?
Yeah, so my timeline, at least for my first attempt, was a little crunched. I went straight from graduation to starting my job full time, and I had another counselor there with me for 2 weeks, and then I was kind of on my own as the only full-time Gen Ed counselor at my hospital.
Which is tough. I'm with you on that, yeah.
Yeah, really trying to navigate what that was going to look like, and then plus, okay, now boards is hanging over my head, and as I said, I really just wanted to do it as quick as possible and get it in the past, which I now know is definitely not the right move, because that's not the right mindset to be in. You got to be rested and ready to go. But I would say, you know, with that excluded, I would say I gave myself 4 months between not passing in August and then my next attempt in February.
Yeah, definitely. It seems like that's kind of the average of what I've talked to people. And it's certainly going to differ if you're, you know, spending, if that's your main focus of the week, or if you're working as well. I was fortunate that I was starting my job afterwards, so, you know, that was the only focus, so that certainly made it easier to study, but then in some ways you kind of lose your mind a little bit, because that's the only thing you're doing, and you're like, I always need to be studying. So going back to other resources, I don't know if we mentioned yet the Guide to Genetic Counseling. I think all of us relied on that in terms of reading that. Allie's got to put it in front of you so it's not blurred. Nice. Yes.
If you're watching the video version.
Yes. Or the famous green book there, which I forget the name of all the time because we just call it the green book in genetic counseling. Then you got to text someone, what is the actual name of the green book? I had to do that at one point.
The Guide to Genetic Counseling, second edition, edited by Wendy R. Ullman, Jane L. Shoot, Beverly M. Yashar. Hopefully I'm saying your names right.
And so how did you use that, Allie, in terms of studying?
I read this like a bedtime story, to be honest, and I'd read a couple chapters every other night or so going to bed, and I'd highlight, but I definitely think that it's very useful, and I'd go back to those parts where I thought that, you know, I'd flag pages that I thought might be useful, but definitely, gonna be honest, I skimmed a lot of it, because it's a full book.
Yeah,
but it was really helpful in terms of learning the psychosocial things that you need to know for the exam.
Yeah, I think that's what filled in my gap the most. I think I spent the last 2 weeks or so, I was like, all right, what else should I study? I'm getting sick of reading my notes over and over. Like, all right, let me read a book, because that's going to be a little bit of a different way of studying. Dani, anything you found to be interesting using the book or any other resources?
I have to say my experience was pretty similar. I read it cover to cover. I really didn't want to miss anything. And it was really helpful. From reading that book, my psychosocial scores really went up dramatically. So that was really great. I think we've covered a lot of the really important resources, except the one thing we haven't talked about is if there are people who've already taken the board exam or, other schools that you can reach out to get resources, as many practice questions would be amazing, as many people who can help hold you accountable, do a study session with a partner or a couple of partners, even just going over review questions or reviewing different concepts that you're not sure about. Working with other people to study really helped me, and it kept me motivated.
I think that was really key for me too, is my study group. I can guarantee I wouldn't have passed the boards without my study group. And I am not the type of person who likes to study in a group. I'm a very, in school, I was always very individually studying. But with this test, I think it really does take a village, and you need to reach out to other schools. You need to be a part of Facebook groups. You need to look at the Discord group if you know how to do that. I didn't, honestly, but I had friends that did. And gather information from other people, because that is so important for this test.
Yeah, I totally echo that. I think it was really helpful to be in a study group of just, and I'm similar to you, Allie. Like, I don't normally study in a group. I'm usually just by myself, my notes and everything. But for this, it is such a different exam. So it's like any way that you can engage with the content can be really helpful. And I know for my study group, we would kind of just think of things and questions and things that we were unsure of throughout the week and jot them down. And then when we met, we would just go through that and ask each other questions. So it wasn't us necessarily like, okay, let's go through cytogenetics and karyotypes or something. It was like, hey, I don't understand this part. Does someone else get it? I found that to be like a helpful way to do it. You guys,
we're similar.
Yeah, go ahead.
On things that we really struggled with, I remember really struggling with Hardy-Weinberg, which seems so basic, but I was like, hey, can I make a PowerPoint and describe Hardy-Weinberg to you guys? And you know how everyone always says, teach by doing. So that's what I tried to do, or learn by teaching, whatever it is. I tried to do that.
Both ways.
Everything that I was struggling with, I tried to teach them. And in that way, when I was learning it better, because I was forcing myself to teach it.
Yeah. And even sometimes we would do taking like quizzes together where someone would share the screen and then we talk about it and we'd kind of debate like answers. And I think that is really good, because then you're using a different part of your brain of like trying to explain someone or, fight someone on an answer, and it gets somewhat interesting. And as you guys were saying too, of connecting with people in other programs, I knew that Dani wasn't from Sarah Lawrence. So I was like, oh, this is someone that I can reach out to and say, what material, could you bestow upon me so that I can help my studying? And, connecting with people in other programs can be really key when it comes to that, because, you're going to have the same information as your peers from the same program. So, that can be something to really help out. And, I don't know if we mentioned the NSGC practice guidelines.
Everything.
Yes, go ahead, Allie.
Well, I think that was the thing that really helped me the most, was you can Google NSG practice guidelines and they'll come up, and those are going to give you kind of step-by-step instructions for certain conditions. If your patient is diagnosed with XYZ, what are you going to do next? And that was a huge chunk of the questions that was on my exam.
Yeah, definitely. I think like going through and just knowing it, and they're all short. I was expecting to sit down, read something really long. I think most of them were a few pages. So it wasn't, it wasn't too bad in terms of like attention span, especially if you're reading a whole book on genetic counseling, then those are a breeze. And any specific tips, Dani, in terms of looking at the content, looking at the syndromes, anything that you found to be helpful of like patterns or different ways of studying?
As I said earlier, I would definitely just say if there are other people who can go through it with you, especially, you know, a lay person who wouldn't necessarily understand what certain characteristics are, I found that, you know, by then being like, oh, haha, this is XYZ, it actually helped me make those connections a little bit stronger. So, you know, I, like the two of you, was always an independent studier, just wanted to be locked in a quiet room and left alone. But the more people who I worked with and studied with on this really helped make me very successful.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, and just being able to bounce off other people for this content and looking for the syndromes of looking like what's unique for some of them, because some of them have, like, especially the metabolic conditions where it's like you have a certain, you know, scent or something like that, where it's like, oh, you hear mm-hmm. sweaty feet, you think, I used to know the answer to that, but, you know, you think of, like, the certain disorder that goes with that, isovaleric acidemia, something like that.
Sounds right to me. It all left my brain as soon as I...
We should have recorded this right after the boards, but, I think looking for those unique things. And something else I learned was looking at, if you have similar conditions, what is the difference between the two? So if there's type 1, type 2 of a certain condition, like, okay, you might just lump those in your head, not for the boards. You really want to zero in on what the differences are going to be between those.
Yeah.
And then
I
another...
think what helped me with that was the flashcards, because on my flashcards, at least, I only wrote down those kind of key things so that I would know them immediately once I saw the condition, as well as the inheritance pattern.
Yeah. And with inheritance patterns, coming from, like, the prenatal side, my brain goes to, like, okay, what's on carrier screening? Because most of what's on carrier screening is going to be autosomal recessive, except for a couple ones like Fragile X or the muscular dystrophies. So for the most part, if you're thinking, oh, I remember in a rotation that was on carrier screening, then it's probably autosomal recessive, and that's like 200 or something conditions. So I think there are certain things that ways of thinking can help, because you can't memorize everything. And so I think, you know, figuring out the little tricks along the way. And then another thing that comes up a lot is, you know, people asking about calculators. And so just as a quick mention that there is no calculator on the exam, the math is pretty straightforward, and that's coming from someone who really can't do math. So, you know, I didn't have too hard of a time in terms of the math on there. And Danny, do you want to talk a little bit about the difference between taking the test in August and February and just the experience there of taking the difference? Because some people ask, okay, what's better, February or August?
Yeah, sure. So I had my experience with the board exam. I took it a couple of times. I actually ended up taking it 3 times, unfortunately. I would say that time of year doesn't make that much of a difference, other than if you know that during your summers you like to be sitting by the pool and having fun and, you know, taking it in August, it really does put a damper on your summer, at least from what I experienced. But I would just say make sure that you're ready when you want to sign up. And as much as we want to get it over with and getting in the past, not passing the first time was really, really hard. It was very devastating. I lost a lot of confidence in myself, because I thought, I just went through this very rigorous graduate program, I feel really prepared for my career, and then I didn't pass the board. So it took a lot of, you know, self-confidence building and a lot of positive reinforcement from my family and from my friends. And what I didn't know at the time that I initially hadn't passed, that I wish I knew because I would have felt a lot better, is after I finally felt comfortable sharing, you know, unfortunately I actually didn't pass, but I am going to try again. So many people came out of the woodwork that I never expected, that had never had said a word before me signing up for my exam for the first time, that they said, oh, I didn't pass, and it was devastating for me too. I know how you feel, but you absolutely are going to pass this, and you're still, it's not going to impact your ability to be a great genetic counselor. You're still amazing in what you do. And it just made me feel so much better. And I don't know why no one talks about that. You don't always pass the first time, and you might not even pass the second time, but you will pass. You just have to identify where your weaknesses are and work to improve and reach out to people, get those resources. Don't be afraid to ask questions or ask, hey, can you go over this with me? And I ended up finding out that one of my supervisors hadn't passed up until her fourth attempt, her last and final effort before she would have had to go through her whole graduate training again. And, you know, if she could do it, I could do it, and I did it. And, you know, and now I'm so glad that I went through that journey. Just, I think it made me stronger and more mature and, you know, really showed that you really have to work for what you want. It's not always easy, but anything's attainable. And we have a really great society of people who are always willing to help and band together and share resources. So I think we're really lucky.
Beautifully said, Dani. I mean, yeah, you are like really such a beautiful, great genetic counselor, and like, you know, it was such a great experience being a student under you a couple of summers ago. And I think it's just so well said that, you know, that is something that's not talked about. I think it's similar to not getting into grad school the first round or the second round. I think this is kind of like the new version of that, of people not necessarily coming out right away and saying, oh, I didn't pass the first time or the second time. And so I think this is something that, yeah, we should normalize more. And like, it's really hard for a reason, you know, it's like, we want to make sure that everybody knows as much information as we can being genetic counselors. And, you know, it is really hard. This is not something to take lightly. It's a really tough exam. But like, as Dani said, I think that's a really good note to end on, that, you know, you will pass and you'll put the time in, and then it will feel really good when you do.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you brought that perspective. Like, even studying for months and months and months, I've only passed by a few points. So it is a difficult test.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So just want to remind everybody, you can go back and listen to episode 126 with Adam Buchanan. He was the president of the American Board of Genetic Counseling that provides the board exam for genetic counselors. So he was the president last year in 2020. And so he shared his insight in even talking about the new remote, taking the boards remotely, which I should have checked. I think they're doing that this year in February. So certainly something, you know, to look into there. And also, if you haven't checked it out yet, you can check out our new YouTube channel. All of the episodes are, by the end of this month, all of the episodes of the show are going to be on there, and all the episodes in 2021 are going to be recorded on video, including this episode. So if you'd like to see Ali and Dani's beautiful faces, you can go to our YouTube channel and you can see us there. And so be sure to check out dnapodcast.com for all of the episodes of the show and show notes. So anything that we've mentioned in the episode, we're going to link to. We're going to link to the Green Book. Lots of information there. And you can search DNA Today on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook to connect with us there. So again, any questions you have for me, Ali, Dani, can be sent into info@dnapodcast.com. So thanks for listening, and join us next time to learn and discover new advances in the world of genetics.
The genes of you and me, the genes of you. We're all made of DNA. We're all made of the same chemical DNA. We're all made